Well, if you turn back to the book of Exodus at chapter 20. Chapter 20. As you well know, we're looking at the Ten Commandments as they're set before us here in these verses. We've looked in past weeks at the first four. It's usual to divide the Ten Commandments into two. The first four have to do with our relationship to God. If you like, they're on the vertical plane. Well, the final six from the fifth onwards have to do with our relationship to one another. So we could say they're on the horizontal plane. We've looked already at some. We looked at those to do with the worship of God. When is, how he's to be worshipped. The honouring of his day, the Sabbath. We're moving on this evening to our attitudes, our relationships to one another. Some Jewish scholars tended to divide these Ten Commandments differently. They literally said there were five and five. In other words, they included this one we're going to look at tonight, the honouring of parents, under our duty to God. I think their argument was along the lines, well, how can we ever claim to honour God whom we've not seen if we fail to honour our parents who we do see? And it's sound reasoning. But whether the Jewish scholars were right, or the more generally accepted view of Christians down the centuries is right as to the division of these commandments, one thing is certain: the word of God, the Lord our God, sets great importance upon this fifth commandment. If you were to turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verses 2 and 3, you find there the Lord God through Moses says this: "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for the Lord your God is holy." And the very next words are these: "Every one of you shall revere his father and mother." And here in the fifth commandment we have the words, "Honor your father and your mother." Clearly, it is a command of great importance. We might look down for the rest of the commandments, those commandments that follow, and say, well, surely the sixth commandment is more important. You shall not murder. Well, the seventh, verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. But when it comes to relationships with one another, God begins with the home. He begins with the relationship of children to their parents. The family is a God-given institution. And society is the family really projected and amplified. And of course, we live in a day when the family is under attack as never before. I wonder who's behind that. And I wonder why, at the same time as the family is under attack, we live in a day when there's little respect for authority anywhere. And there's a breakdown of law and order. I know we've got teachers here, but who would be a teacher today? It's a noble profession, but it gets more difficult as the years go by. Look how many are leaving that profession under the stress and the strain of dealing with unruly children. Think of the police force. Look at the abuse that they receive as they try and maintain law and order. That lack of respect and authority is something that has infiltrated church life. Often today it's not the elders who are ruling the church, it's the youth. They set the agenda. They rule, which is contrary, of course, to the word of God. And in the midst of all of this, people search for answers. Why is there such lawlessness? And often people look for scapegoats. Say, well, you know, it's the government's fault. Whichever party happens to be in. It's the lack of social care and so on. But while those matters may not be unimportant, they're not the real answer to the problem. And they certainly won't cure the problem. They at best try to deal with the symptoms. The root cause lies deeper. It lies in the home. It lies in the family. Because it's in the family that each one of us is prepared to take a place of responsibility in society. And that preparation begins from the earliest age. I read this story. As far as I know, it's a true story. I don't think Brian Edwards tells lies. But he tells this story, which I thought was interesting, of a group of young elephants that were taken from a national park in South Africa. And they were taken to a reserve some distance away. And this is what he says, and I quote, he says, before long, the small herd had become delinquents. Now, when a small herd of elephants become delinquents, there's trouble. And there was, this is what he says, ripping up trees, attacking tourist cars, and even threatening the rangers. He says the reason for this threatening behavior, which led to at least one animal being shot, was the fact that they had been taken away too early from their parents. And he says, if young elephants do not have a role model in their adults, they become violent. The older animals teach their siblings discipline and the rule of authority. We need order. We need authority. We need it in the home, or we will reap the results in our society. And that authority, according to the Bible, God's word, is invested in the husband as the head of the house and in the parents jointly as head of the children. Notice what it says. Honor your father and your mother. Could say more about that with regard to how many people view God. Honor your father and your mother. This command, the importance of it is underlined by its place in the Decalogue. It's first in the commandments which speak of our relationships with one another. But it's also highlighted as to its importance, not just by its place, but by its penalty. The penalty that God required of those who disobeyed the command. If we were to read on in the book of Exodus, you will find that God attached the same penalty for disobedience to parents as he did to blasphemy and idolatry. Under the law of Moses, the penalty was death. That's what the Lord Jesus said in that passage we read in Matthew. And in all of this, God is surely highlighting the importance of this command. So people today may not consider this matter of honoring our father and our mother as being any big deal, but God certainly does. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 1, where Paul is giving a list of those sins which mark people who God has given over, given up to their sins. You find at verse 30 of that chapter these words, disobedient to parents. He says, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. There's no disparity between the Old and the New Testaments when it comes to this command. There's only one God, and his commands stand for all generations. Honour your father and your mother. And that command is taken up and expanded upon by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament when he says this in Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And again, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians at Colossae, says in chapter 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing to God. I want to consider some of the scriptural principles behind the fifth commandment. There, in Ephesians 6 and verse 3, Paul says, obey, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He's saying it's right. What he's saying is it's the right thing to do. It's something, if you like, which is essentially right and good in itself. It's something which is righteous. And Paul, in presenting his argument for children to obey their parents by obeying them, says, I'm calling you to do that which is natural, which is foundational, which is, you know, part of the rule of life. I mentioned just now the baby elephants, but it's not just elephants who need guidance, who need teaching, who need discipline, who need protecting. It's true in the realm of nature generally. Obey your parents. This is right, says the apostle. It can't be denied as you look around you. The whole of creation proclaims it. And human beings are not divorced from God's created order. So he's saying, in effect, for children not to obey their parents is unnatural. It's to violate something which is clearly woven into the whole created order. It's been the way of things from the beginning. The natural realm proclaims it. Common sense dictates it. That children should honour their parents. And they should show they do so by obeying them. This is right, says Paul. He's saying, instinctively we know this is right. This is how it should be. Then secondly, we come to the obvious point, which I mentioned in my initial remarks. It's right to honour and obey our parents because it's a commandment of God. How vital it is that we grasp that. Thomas Watson wrote this, as God's word is the rule, so his will must be the reason for our obedience. And he says, if there were no other reason than that God commands it, we who love God should obey his word. It's possible the prominence given to this command within the Decalogue also reflects the higher spiritual relationship, if you like, of children of God to their Heavenly Father. God is the Father of us all by creation. But to his spiritual children, he's their Father by creation and redemption. And because that was true of Israel, to whom these words were addressed. And the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So in honouring their father and mother, the children of Israel were reflecting that unique relationship which they had with their God, which likewise demanded reverence and respect and obedience. But there's a further spiritual reason why we should obey this command. Creation and nature display it. God commands it. But then also, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, exemplified it. And what further reason can those who are called to follow in his steps require? We read of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 51. You read these words. He went down with them, that is, with his parents. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, kept the fifth commandment. Of course, he kept all the commandments, but he kept the fifth among them. The context of those words was that he'd gone up to Jerusalem to the Jewish Passover with Joseph and Mary. And you may remember they were making their return journey, and they travelled a day before they discovered that Jesus was not with them. I'm sure many of you asked, well, what kind of parents were they? How could such a thing ever happen? To neglect their son like that? Why didn't they realise their 12-year-old son was not with them? And the answer probably lies in the fact that as the crowds returned home from Jerusalem, it was customary for women to be at the front and the men at the rear of the long train, the long procession, the people returning. And the likelihood is that both Joseph and Mary thought that Jesus was with the other partner. Because at the age of 12, he might have been with either. But as Luke tells us, he was with neither because he was still in Jerusalem in the temple. And he was reasoning and questioning with the teachers of the law. And we read in Luke's Gospel that Joseph and Mary were amazed, as well as being anxious and deeply worried about him. And they say to him, did you not know? And Jesus said to them, didn't he? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? That's interesting. It's clear, isn't it? At the age of 12, Jesus was deeply conscious, even yet, of that unique relationship with his Heavenly Father. And Luke tells us that Joseph and Mary didn't understand what he'd said, really. That must have been difficult for Christ. His parents didn't understand him. How many children today say to their parents, you know, but you don't understand? Sometimes they grow resentful, don't they, and become sullen or storm off in a temper tantrum. You don't understand. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ never had perfect parents. But rather than remaining in his Father's house in the temple, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. He was subject to them. That can be rendered, he rendered constant obedience to them. So the Son of God incarnate was subject to Joseph and Mary. He humbled himself and was obedient to his parents. Why did he do so? Well, he did it to fulfill all righteousness. He did it to please his Heavenly Father. He did it to fulfill the law of God in every respect. He did it to honour his earthly father and mother. And you know, in this, as in his sufferings, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:21, Christ has left us an example that we should follow his steps. And we don't need further reason than this, do we, to see the importance of this command. It's God's will. It's seen in God's creation. It's written with God's finger as part of his unalterable law. And it's exemplified in the example of his only begotten Son, our Lord and Saviour. Honour your father and your mother. And do so from your earliest years. Jesus not only honoured his father and mother in his life, but also in his death. Remember how it was there upon the cross at Calvary, hanging between heaven and earth as that atoning sacrifice for sin, that there Jesus Christ, racked with bodily pain and in spiritual anguish, saw his mother. And he honoured his mother. He cared for his mother. Remember what John tells us in his gospel in John chapter 19, verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Beautiful, isn't it? May God grant those of us who still have parents to honour them. Younger people, honour your parents, your father and mother. So many young people today can't wait to get away from their influence, to spread their wings, to be free from parental care, to live their own lives, to do their own thing. Glad to be away from the influence of their parents. Well, is that honouring? Is that revering your parents? It's not, you know, often it's thinly disguised rebellion. But it's what marks so many young people. Sadly, even some who name the name of Christ. Now, there is a time, of course, when children leave home. We're not denying that. But it should be, surely, a day of mixed emotions. And in no way should it diminish the love, respect and honour between children and their parents. The Son of God, hanging on the cross, cared, loved, cherished, honoured his mother. And it also underlines the fact, of course, that this honouring of father and mother is a lifelong commitment. Sadly, that's not always the case today either. Isn't it true, you know, when so many folk, when their parents get old, you know, let's put them in an old folks home. There's a lot of jokes made about this kind of thing, you know. Look after your children, parents, you know, because they decide where you go. So they want to be rid of them. Why is that? Well, often it's because their parents must not be allowed to interfere with their lifestyle. I'm not condemning in any way all children who have allowed their parents to spend their twilight days in old people's homes, don't get me wrong. Some parents demand it. They don't want to be a burden to their children, and we understand that. But that doesn't negate this command. Where is the honouring of fathers and mothers? As I say, for many, and even some professing Christians, this commandment need hardly have been written. So the time that children should honour their parents doesn't cease with adulthood. This love, care and kindness and devotion towards them should continue unabated. But all too often, the sinful hearts of people seek ways of avoiding the power of this command. That's why I read that passage from Matthew's Gospel. It's what the Pharisees did in Jesus' day. Sought to circumvent this command. Listen to what Jesus said to them in Matthew's Gospel 15 and verses 3 to 6. He said this: "Why do you transgress the command of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'He who curses father and mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple, is released from honoring his father or mother.' Thus you have made the commandment of no effect by your tradition." You see, this practice, this tradition had arisen among the Pharisees, that a son might escape responsibility to his parents by saying that what he would have given them, he had dedicated to God, to the temple. So perhaps that which would have been used to care for them in their old age, well, I've dedicated it to God. That's what these ultra-religious people were saying. They dedicated everything to the Lord. It was Corban, it was his. Therefore they were free, you see, from their responsibility to look after their parents. You know, you can imagine their conversations with their aging parents, can't you? "Well, I'd like to help, of course, you know, but I can't. I've dedicated everything to the Lord, to temple worship. It all sounds very spiritual." But here was a devious and a subtle way of evading their responsibility to keep the fifth commandment. And the Lord Jesus Christ fearlessly exposed their sin, their hypocrisy. "Hypocrites," he says. "Hypocrites." He goes on to say, doesn't he, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you. These people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And listen, and in vain they worship me." See what Christ is saying? "I see you drawing near. I see you parading around the temple in your long robes. I see your long prayers. I see the esteem in which others hold you and think you're godly, but you're hypocrites. Deliberately evading the fifth commandment and its implications and using God's name, God's temple, as an excuse for doing so." There's surely a lesson here for all Christians. Our duty to God does not conflict with our duty to our parents. Our duty to our parents to honour them can never be violated in interest to duty to God. How we thank God there are yet many Christians who put God's commandments, including this one, first. I knew some years ago a lady missionary who came back off the mission field in Africa, where she'd laboured for the Lord for many years, to spend the final years and many years of her life looking after her parents who could no longer look after themselves. Great sacrifice for her. And others of the Lord's people who had longed to serve the Lord abroad have forfeited the privilege for a greater one, to honour their father and their mother. They've stayed at home and obeyed the Lord's command. It works both ways and has done. And they've been blessed in doing so. Let's not forget this commandment has a promise. "Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The story is told of a young girl from a Christian family who was introduced to a lady who was 99 years old. And she was told, on her next birthday, she will be 100. And she spoke with the lady for some time. And after they got home, the little girl said to her parents, "Wow, that lady must have really loved her parents." A little child shall lead them. In Ephesians 6, verse 3, you may remember the Apostle Paul says of the promise, "That it may be well with you. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." The promises of God to his people of old were often tied up with that of the promised land and prosperous, peaceful lives as they serve God. And God wasn't saying to his people, "Do this and you'll get a blessing." But what he was doing was this. He was pointing out the inseparable connection between obedience to his word and receiving the blessing. The point is, when we're faithful to keep what God has commanded, he is faithful to bless us. The old hymn says, "Trust and obey," doesn't it? There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Of course, coming back to the specific promise here, it's not always the case that those who honour their parents, who serve God faithfully, live to an old age. But it's absolutely the case that it will be well with them. God's promise will not fail. And they will live long. Because they will, in that Sabbath rest we were thinking of last week in the previous commandment, live eternally. Because in obeying God, in trusting his word, in honouring their parents, they reveal that they have true faith. They're rather like the Old Testament patriarchs. They show they love God. They show they believe his word. Because they desire a better. That is a heavenly country. Let's take heed to God's word. Take heed to it individually. If we want to know blessing in our lives, let's be very careful to obey the word of God and to do it with full hearts, joyfully. And then with regard to our own land, our own nation, we can be absolutely sure it will not be well with us. It will not be well in the land while God's word is spurned and rejected. Where God's word on marriage and the family is trampled on. May God grant us the grace of repentance. Let's resolve we'll faithfully serve the Lord, including the keeping of this commandment. Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Well, Lord our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for parents. Those, Lord, who have Christian parents are doubly blessed. And we do pray, Lord, that those who have parents who love the Lord might honour their fathers and mothers, but even those, Lord, who do not. Oh, we ask, Lord, that you give us the grace to fulfil your commands. And we do pray, Lord, we look out on our land and see the disorder See, as we've already said, Lord, that lack of respect for authority in any form or guise. And yet, Lord, we continue to wander further and further from your truth. It's righteousness that exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. So we pray, Lord, that you would be at work, and pray even today, Lord, that as your word is proclaimed in many places, that, Lord, that word would do its perfect work, and many might come to know Christ. And we pray for ourselves, Lord, that we might be more nearly conformed to your word, to our Saviour. We thank you, Lord, for him. We thank you, Lord, for that obedience he rendered to his earthly parents. And we pray that we might be given grace to do the same, to honour and obey. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.